Egyptian.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's the most intense day of fighting between Israel and Hezbollah since the Gaza war began. Israel today has struck more than 300 targets in Lebanon. ABC's Jordana Miller has more from Jerusalem.
Lebanon reporting over 100 dead, dozens injured. The IDF calling on Lebanese civilians to leave buildings, even towns where Hezbollah is operating, sending that message by text, in recorded calls and radio announcements. Thousands of Lebanese getting in their cars, fleeing north towards Beirut.
The Middle East expected to be a major topic this week at the UN General Assembly. Vice President Kamala Harris said she'll deliver an economic speech this week. Polls show former President Trump more trusted to handle the economy. In key swing states, a set of New York Times Siena College polls found Trump slightly leading Harris in Arizona and the two about evenly matched in North Carolina. There's a bipartisan spending deal in place that would avoid a government shutdown. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Aylin. The soldier from Racine who crossed the border from South into North Korea last summer is a free man. Private Travis King was sentenced Friday in a Texas military court to a prison term that amounts to the time he has already served. That came after King pled guilty Friday to desertion and four other counts. Ozaukee County deputies took a man in a mental health crisis into custody Friday. The sheriff's office says they learned the suspect had threatened to kill his family and shoot up a Grafton dental office. The man was eventually subdued with a less lethal impact weapon and taken into custody. And a pig on the loose for days in Door County was shot and killed Friday evening. The sheriff's office there said they were concerned about the approximately 300-pound pig walking into traffic on two of the county's major highways. A release from the sheriff's office says deputies euthanized the animal as it approached a highway. Ted Aylin, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy. Little fog by morning. Our low 47. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. 71 by Wednesday. Mostly sunny with a high of 76. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45. 99.7.
Don't you
80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you on Monday morning. You know, it got a little cool last night. I knew it was going to happen because I had kind of kept an eye on the forecast. And I'm not surprised by it. We had the windows open here because we didn't want the air conditioning running either. For some reason, that's just running weird. I think our thermostat has something going on there where it thinks it's hotter than what it is. Not sure. It's all digital. It's a smart thermostat, but we've had it for a while as well. So we got to check that. Speaking of weather, let's take a look at that. Today, it will be sunny with a high of 69. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We're going to get down to 47. So you can leave those windows open, but maybe not too far. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high of 71. On Wednesday, sunny with a high of 75. Looking ahead towards the weekend, we'll have highs in the high 70s. But we are keeping an eye on the forecast a little bit because we know there's some things that are happening in the Gulf, and that could head this way. That'll impact our rain chances. As a reminder, we have homecoming on Friday night, so we're hoping that the rain doesn't impact the football game or the parade in downtown Baraboo. So we're going to be hopefully live streaming that. That is currently the plan anyways, so we'll keep you up to date on all that throughout the week. We need to talk about our pets of the week at the Sauk County Humane Society. Samantha is a 2-year-old black and white female cat who is all dressed in her tuxedo best. She meets you at the kennel door ready to get out and meet her forever family. Samantha enjoys playing with wand toys and is a good scratcher for some scratching and scratching exercises. Samantha enjoys chasing balls across the floor, and when the hunt is on, she enjoys carrying around the little play mouse. After some playtime, Samantha is more than happy to curl up in your lap for all kinds of attention. Samantha will be spayed and microchipped and up to date on all vaccines before going home with you. Tio is one of the senior dogs, and he was surrendered with another dog when their owner could no longer keep them. At 13, he still has lots of energy and is a bouncy little guy. Tio enjoys going for walks and does very well on a leash. He loves your attention with lots of petting and snuggles. Tio is possibly house trained. He can live with other dog, cats, and children. He will require grooming and will be groomed this week, and his new family will need to include this in their pet budget. You know, he is a senior dog, and he would love to go home with you. He is such an awesome looking dog. And as a reminder, we have a lot of great pet groomers in this area as well. And looking at Samantha the cat, her black and white, she almost has a heart-shaped white part in front of her. She is a cute cat, you know. She is ready to go home with you. For more information about these animals, you can go over to sawkhumane.org. They're going to have some volunteer orientation. That'll be Saturday, October 5th at the shelter. Applications can be found on the website as well. Again, sawkhumane.org. Get involved and please volunteer. Children 8 to 18 may volunteer with an adult. Also, they are currently in need of some donations. They need canned cat and dog food, bleach and Dawn. So please help out our local Humane Society. To look at all the available pets, you can go to sawkhumane.org. Go check out Samantha and Teal. They are amazing looking. This, looking at just Teal, the tail's wagging, got a smile on his face. And again, looking at Samantha, she's got those eyes looking right at you. Again, almost a heart-shaped white spot in front of her. So go look at them at sawkhumane.org. Now, I was talking a little bit earlier about, you know, I got to have coffee when I'm doing the morning show, right? Because I'm getting up early, want to be caffeinated and ready to go. Last night, Wendy came to bed and she goes, I think our coffee maker's broken. And I'm like, what do you mean it's broken? We need coffee in the morning. She goes, the burner has got a crack in it. And I'm like, okay. She goes, well, I have everything ready to go for the morning. Luckily, it made our coffee. Now, the burner is definitely cracked. Now, the weird part is this coffee maker is not that old. So, a little perplexed as to how it happened, because right as you look at the edge of the burner plate, on the thicker part of it, as a matter of fact, there is definitely a crack there. It's not like we dropped anything on the coffee maker. It just all of a sudden was there. We don't know when it happened. Luckily, it still brewed coffee this morning, but I think our coffee maker is maybe a month or two old. I don't remember exactly. We decided to get one that was more of a multi-function device so we can do the individual cups. Not one of the expensive coffee makers by any means, but it's like, what is going on here? So yeah, this morning I got to check on that because you know what? I need to be caffeinated in the morning. There's no two ways about that. Now, if you missed our green or gold statewide texting contest this morning earlier, you still have opportunities to win. Jay Roberts, he'll be in at 11 this morning, so you can listen to Jay and text in right around 11. He'll have another keyword at 11, 1, and then Aaron will be in at 4 o'clock. He will also have a keyword. So Aaron will be filling in for me on nights as I'm doing mornings. So we have a few shifting around going on, so we'll still all be here.
When unexpected illnesses, minor injuries, or health concerns arise, there's no need to wait to find relief. Reedsburg Area Medical Center's walk-in care is here for you. No appointment needed. Walk-in care is open weekends from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and holidays from 9 to 5. Located inside RAMC's Physicians Group, walk-in care is here to help you feel better, faster. Reedsburg Area Medical Center, going beyond the expected in healthcare.
Hi, I'm Joan Ballwig. As a mom, grandma, and small business owner, I understand how rising costs are affecting Wisconsin families, whether it's groceries, school supplies, or healthcare. That's why I fought in Madison to put more money in your pocket and support programs that address rising costs. I voted to cut taxes for the middle class, fought to provide more healthcare coverage for postpartum mothers. I worked to address rising childcare costs by expanding available tax credits and by creating new childcare slots. And I fought to improve access to mental health care and suicide prevention. Because by working together and bringing everyone to the table, we can put more money in your pockets and support programs that reduce costs, improve outcomes, and make life more affordable again. I'm Joan Ballwig. I'm a bipartisan consensus builder. I'm running for state senate, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Joan Ballwig.
Stop in today to test drive and buy your next new or used vehicle at Baraboo's Don Larson Ford Superstore or Don Larson GM Superstore. Don Larson now offers two convenient locations on County Highway BD and South Boulevard in Baraboo. Not ready to buy? They service all makes and models in both of their service departments. Your next vehicle is waiting for you at Don Larson GM Superstore or Don Larson Ford Superstore, Baraboo. Shop them 24/7 at donlarson.com and donlarsonford.com.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station. 99.7 Max FM.
Come on, Eileen.
maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you on Monday morning. That was Dexy's Midnight Runners. As I was mentioning earlier, I had an interesting email come in this weekend to my personal account, and it was a little bit odd, had a PDF attachment to it, and it started out with, I know that calling, and it had all zeros, and that was kind of weird because it was not my phone number. It looks like they were trying to make it my phone number. So as I've been calling 000 or visiting my address would be a convenient way to have a chat with you, and I'm not saying what my address is for the obvious reason. And in case you don't cooperate, don't try to hide from this. You have no idea what I'm capable of in Baraboo. I suggest you read this message carefully. Take a moment to chill, breathe, and analyze it thoroughly. We're talking about something here, serious here, and I don't play games. The email continues on. You don't know me, however, I know you, and right now you're wondering how correct this email continues. Well, you've been treading on thin ice with your browsing habits, scrolling through those videos and venturing into the darker corners of cyberspace. And it says, I installed malware on a porn website you visited, and it goes on, and then it asks for a secret fee. And then kind of the scary part with this is that they had a picture of something of the street view near my house. Actually, you could see the tree bank. It was from Google Street View. And I'm like, wow. And it's odd, obviously. And it has a Bitcoin address. They want you to hurry up and send them some money, and those things you want to be cautious of right from the get-go. Stop right there. Don't click on those things. Anything like that in an email that's requesting urgent action or you act on immediately, send them money. If they're trying to blackmail you at that point. And the email address was a Gmail address of no one I recognize, obviously. But then, of course, in the back of my mind is I'm wondering how they had my address and why they would have a street view from Google on this email. I mean, it was like very weird at that point. So I did a little bit of research and found out, obviously, that this was a scam email that started earlier this month, as a matter of fact. So the Google's definitely helped with that and showed, yeah, that's definitely a scam. That's a new one. And it's because an email address had been compromised. So this was my old charter email address, too. I want to preface it with that. I don't use it for anything new anymore. But the interesting part was I wanted to know how this happened. So I did some research over the weekend, and there's a website that's Have I Been Pawned? And I went out and put my email address in there. And sure enough, it was in there of an email address that had been compromised on a site. And come to find out, in 2018, they had used my email address when I had been, and some other information was compromised in a textbook rental site. So that's where that happened. I was going back to school in 2014, 15, 16 in that area. And as part of going back to school, I needed some textbooks, and I went to a textbook rental site, used my personal email address because at the time I didn't know what my college address was going to be as I was finishing up my degree. And sure enough, my email address was compromised on that site. So it had email address. Apparently I never entered my phone number, so they didn't have that information. So they used all that to construct this email, trying to get me to go to a Bitcoin site, send them some money because they claimed I'd been looking at some of these sites. Definitely not the case. And you know, I'm an IT guy by trade. That's what I do as part of my job here. I'm the director of IT as well as a local station manager. So I do look out for these things. So if you get one of those emails, don't click on them, delete them, report them to the authorities if you feel that's necessary as well. And just keep that information, but don't reply to those emails even, because that's your attempting part, right? Saying, no, you got something wrong. The minute you reply to them, that's not a good thing either. So don't reply to them. Don't click on the links. Don't send them any money. And always ask somebody if you have any questions. That's anytime that something's requesting urgent action, want you to click on something right there, that's a bad thing. And it's just like some of these things that also pop up on some websites you go to. I was talking with some family this weekend. They're asking if Chumley and Pawn Stars had gotten himself into some trouble. I'm like, don't click on those things. And they knew that right away because they want you to click on those things, go to their sites. It's clickbait is what it's called. So there's your technology corner from the morning. So coming up, we will have a look at weather, and in a little bit we will have Maddie Jones and Hanging with Hobble coming up shortly as well.
Get the good stuff. Get the good stuff from Napa in Baraboo and Portage. This is Napa John. Napa tools and parts are second to none. We've got hard-to-find parts for everyday use, from the smallest wrench to the biggest hoist. Napa has over 300,000 parts in stock every day. No matter the job, if you're a hardcore mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer, we've got the parts you need. Watch for our quarterly sales flyers and for your peace of mind, buy your tools and parts from Napa in Baraboo and Portage.
Get the good stuff!
The Packers won their second straight 30-14 over the Titans on Sunday in Nashville. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Malik Willis improving to 2-0 as the Packers starter, throwing for a touchdown and running for another as he got revenge on the team that drafted and then traded him.
Maybe a change of scenery can be good for some guys. And I just cannot articulate the job that he's done in the short period of time. People can't fathom it. I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it, but you don't get it. What he's been able to do is, I've never seen something like that.
Packers defense recorded three more takeaways, including two interceptions. That's seven picks for the season, equaling the total for all of last year. Packers also registering eight quarterback sacks. They improved to 2-1. Brewers coming from eight runs down to beat Arizona 10-9 at AmFam Field. On Sunday, the Brewers took the lead by scoring four times in the eighth inning to pull out the victory. They'll open the series at Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy. Little fog by morning. Our low 47 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, 71 by Wednesday. Mostly sunny with a high of 76. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45. 99.7.
Coming up next, we'll have Hanging with Howell and Mandy Jones on Max FM. Here's Duran Duran.
Mouth is alive. It's time for Hanging with Hobble here on Max FM. Chris Hobble, our Packers expert, joins us in just moments to talk about that game between the Tennessee Titans and, of course, the Green Bay Packers. Hanging with Hobble on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
This is the time of year for a scenic drive to Oakwood Fruit Farm. Apples are everywhere, including Macintosh, Cortland, and Honeycrisp, and other varieties for cooking and eating. Come pick your own grapes and enjoy fresh apple cider, homemade caramel apples, take and bake pies, apple cider donuts, fall mums, and so much more. Every Tuesday, you can get 10% off all apple purchases. Open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Oakwood Fruit Farm, located south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It is time for Hanging with Hobble here on Max FM. Our Packers expert Chris Hobble joins us this morning for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hobble here on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
I mean,
living on a cloud, aren't we?
Isn't it crazy? I mean, Packer fans wondering after Jordan Love went down, can the Packers win a game? Will they be competitive? What is going to happen? My, oh, my. What has happened is the outcoming of the coming out party of Malik Willis. It's been a really wonderful thing to watch. And I think really, and Matt LaFleur talked about this a lot in his post game yesterday, Maddie, where he was saying how it's brought the team together and galvanized them. And that's something that you and I have seen too, where they rally around him for him and really for themselves because they want to stay in the hunt as well. And I thought a real telling moment in the game yesterday, Emmanuel Wilson, bless his soul, he catches a 30-yard screen, takes it to the house for a touchdown, and then promptly hands the football to the official. It was Emmanuel Wilson's first NFL touchdown. Josh Jacobs, who has never had a receiving touchdown in his career, and now he is only a reception or two, if not on the cusp of the most catches in a career without a touchdown receiving, he ran and got the ball for his teammate, Emmanuel Wilson. Josh Jacobs hunted down the official, grabbed the football, had the wherewithal to go get the thing, and here you go, partner. Isn't that nice? And that's
cool
a guy
stuff.
To another guy.
This is what makes sports fun, right? Like, we can talk about the winning, we can talk about the losing, and we'll talk about all of the good stuff that happened and some of the stuff that they're still working on cleaning up. But that's the stuff that makes sports awesome, and that's the stuff that you can romanticize if you're a fan of the game. So let's go ahead and talk about the offense first and foremost. I mean, you mentioned it already. When Jordan Love went down, woe is us, right? As Green Bay Packers fans, how do you possibly go on? Hello, Malik Willis. And, you know, honestly, if Jordan Love was going to be out any longer, I think you can feel pretty good about where Malik Willis is as the backup quarterback. And remember a few weeks ago, Chris, when everybody was all upset with Goody that they didn't go out and get an experienced guy like the Ryan Tannehills of the world. And you know, you gotta, and we said here on this show during a segment, you know, the scouting team probably knows what they're doing a little better than the rest of us. And boy, oh boy, for anybody who is doubting that choice, thank you, coaches. Thank you, scouts. Thank you, game plan, whatever it is. But he has looked like a superstar under Matt LaFleur.
Well, none other than Jimmy Johnson, who knows a little bit about football.
Just a little.
Long in the tooth, but he's been around there for a while. He knows something. He said today, he said, you want to find a good young quarterback? Ask Matt LaFleur. He said he seems to be able to. Because here's the thing. Not just find him, but see the talent, but also with the vision of how am I going to mold that talent? Mm-hmm. What resources do I have to make the resources and skills that that guy has in the case of Jordan Love and then with later Malik Willis now? How do I make them better? Now, certainly to have the team around all that, which again, I think the shift here has been just so incredible on offense, especially, but in Green Bay overall from – let's let the quarterback do it. Let's let the quarterback and a couple of his key guys do it. And I know that's really undercutting, I think, the team aspect of what Aaron Rodgers and everybody did. However, there's a certain vibe here in the field that the quarterback, Jordan Love, validates, reaffirms Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, the whole operation by his performance. He gets injured. Malik Willis comes in, validates and reaffirms the whole operation, just like you said, makes Booty look smart, makes LaFleur look smart. I mean, you got two quarterbacks right now that are playing at a high level, one right now and one when he comes back, Maddie, and they're making everybody look good, really.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about, do you remember, you know, all of the people over the years when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of this team that said Matt LaFleur was only good because he had Aaron Rodgers? Remember those days?
Oh, he'll never win a coach of the year. Not with that. Anybody could coach that team with that quarterback. When, in fact, when McCarthy and Philbin, when they left, it was like, man, that Green Bay job, bad job. Old roster, over the hill team. Aaron Rodgers disillusioned. He wants out. Bad job. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell that to LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur was like, nope, I'm going to take that and raise you a beer here because he's made. Now, let's talk about that, though, for just a moment, because we'll get into some of the offense nuts and bolts. But I want to give Matt LaFleur some props, right? Because there are things that sometimes he does. And even yesterday, he got a little conservative there on a few drives, right? Like all of a sudden they got a little pass happy instead of running the ball. And he tends to do that every now and then. And as any good coach in the league, you can always criticize a little bit as long as they're out there winning and making adjustments when needed, right? But let's talk a little bit about Matt LaFleur, because I feel like for the first time since he's gotten to Green Bay, and you and I have talked about this, we are finally starting to see the real extent, whether it's Jordan Love under center or Malik Willis for the time being, we are finally starting to see the fruits of Matt LaFleur's plans come together, right? And last year, I don't feel like we got a lot of that at the beginning of the season, just trying to get the young guys back on par, trying to get them caught up, trying to get Jordan Love on par. And Stenovich has talked about it this year. They don't have to do all of the concept type stuff this year. You just get to get into the playbook because everybody's caught up. But I feel like towards the end of last year, we started seeing what Matt LaFleur's offense should and could look like. And now I think we're really starting to see that, even though Jordan Love isn't in the game. And honestly, do you think that with Malik Willis, this just proves that Matt LaFleur's offense is good and could work with anybody behind center? I mean, it kind of does, doesn't it, to a certain degree?
Well, I think it challenges Matt LaFleur, and I think he likes to be challenged.
And I think he coaches at his best when he's challenged.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I also think this is the preferred way he wants to play. Mm-hmm. To your point about comparing what was going on before, certainly he worked with Aaron Rodgers and around Aaron Rodgers to a degree to make that work to the tune of 30-some points a game. I mean, that thing was humming like it hadn't before.
Yes.
And so certainly he can coach the position and coach offense, but to the point of this being more specific to what LaFleur likes to do, we always talk about what is a quarterback like. In this case, I think LaFleur really likes to run the football. And the one thing that I thought has always been the genius, and you can validate because I've said it from day one, Matt LaFleur, one of his gifts is seeing the game for what it is as it unfolds. And I think today, a great example, more than 20 pressures, 20. And you brought the great stats up on Friday about 43.8, I think it was, completion percentage of 44, whatever, passer rating, when pressured, Will Levis, get after him, cut it loose.
Yeah.
When you got 20 pressures and you're hitting that guy for 8 sacks, why would Matt LaFleur take any risks on offense? And I think his team understands that where he's coming from and where they're coming from. And right now the situation demands ball security, smart football, and let's get the W. And I think just the team on the same page.
Yeah.
Even like Josh Jacobs understanding it's Wilson's first touchdown and going and grabbing that football instead of, why can't I get in the end zone? I've never done that in all my years and catches. No,
it's hardly. Cool. It's cool.
It's really cool. It is.
And by the way, you mentioned the sacks, and we'll talk about defense in a minute. The most for this team in a game in 20 years yesterday, which is even more crazy. And we'll talk defense in just a moment. Let's talk a little bit about this O-line, though, right? Because this Tennessee's defensive front, it's formidable. I mean, it's a formidable front. We talked about that on Friday. You know what? That offensive line, they had no problems. They were like, oh, great, we'll raise you formidable, and we'll tell you who can be formidable. We're going to stand our ground, and we're going to hold the line, and we're going to let our guys do exactly what they need to. Kudos to this offensive line. They have played at a high standard, especially the last couple of games, too, because it's not easy to be a big guy in the trenches in that kind of heat and humidity like they played in last week in Green Bay and then yesterday in Tennessee. So kudos to the big guys up front, because they've been holding their ground and doing everything they can to make sure Malik Willis has his moment in the pocket when he needs it or is able to escape escape or able to, I mean, they've created running lanes. They've made sure that they've been blocking downfield for the receivers. I mean, it's just been incredible to see this offensive line come together and gel a little bit.
Going into the game last week, Maddie, Matt LaFleur said they wanted to run it at least 40 times. Mm-hmm. And so they get the 53 carries, obscene number, and the huge yards, and you say, that's unsustainable. Well, it is, but what is sustainable is that you have an identity now. You have putting something on film that people have to fear and respect.
Yeah.
Maybe not fear, a little early for that, but respect certainly. And I think that the Titans had to respect that run game.
Yeah.
But what Matt LaFleur did, I think, is really clever. 37 for 188 yards, 5.1 today. That's darn near 40, which what everybody thought that was the goal going into the soft run defense Colts. They got that against everybody. So, well, the stout Titans, you cannot run the football on them. Well, it was true to the degree that you couldn't inside the tackles.
Right.
Fair enough. There are a lot of different ways to run the football. And Matt LaFleur and his staff have explored darn near, I think, just about every one, which probably says how dumb I am because they have already fooled me with how many ways there are. And even some of it's just repetition, but very little bit of subtlety. And the fact that they've had so many reps in the last 2 weeks certainly helps the smoothness and the operation all the way up and down. But what LaFleur did and what we see is why they got Josh Jacobs and why they got Emmanuel Wilson.
Wilson
gives them what A.J. Dillon could not.
Right.
85 yards today, 50 on the ground, 35 in the air, running always full steam ahead and ball secure and very
gets
good.
Gets his pads down low, which was always a knock on Dillon. Dillon stayed really high when he ran, and I love A.J. Dillon, by the way, but that was always kind of a knock. He always stayed up high. He didn't really get low, so then he was stopped a lot quicker than a guy that size should have been. Emmanuel Wilson, I don't know if it's coaching, natural gift, or a little bit of both, but he keeps those pads low. He keeps the legs churning. And maybe having Josh Jacobs there as a mentor, too, might help a little bit. But I was excited about Wilson last year. Then the dude got hurt, and I was like, no, because I think this is going to be good. And now we're getting to see, I mean, had to be a little patient, Chris, but we're getting to see it now.
13 playoff snaps for Wilson, so the Packers were excited about him too.
Yeah.
And I think the thing with Wilson and Jacobs, to finish the point about Wilson gives him what Dillon couldn't, Jacobs gives him what Jones did neither, and I love Aaron Jones. I know you do too.
He's great.
And Jones was fearless between the tackles, but the ability for the Packers to try to go inside, not be able to get it. Willis completing two huge first half third down plays. The one to Watson, obviously, for the 30.
Yep.
And then the other one, Reed's early on, the first play out of the get. And then the other one to Dobbs. Kept the chains moving, but they stuck with the run. And Jacobs could bounce it outside, break enough tackles to get moving the chains a little. And he didn't have by all accounts. You know, I mean, it was a very pedestrian game, I think, for Josh Jacobs. However, again, 5 yards a carry plus 37
for a buck 88. You got to respect him, though. If he lines up behind the center, you got to respect that Josh Jacobs is back there. I think that's the fear factor that you're talking about.
Expressing right there is 7 yards a carry on the field later in the game, third quarter, fourth quarter, where they forget about Jacobs a little bit. Boom. I mean, he is barreling right at you. There's no let up between those two guys. Really?
No, I love the run game right now. It's really fun. And, you know, we've talked a lot about LaFleur coming from that Shanahan tree. And we see what Kyle Shanahan does to his opponent on the ground. And Matt LaFleur is like, okay, this is what we're going for. And I love it because you wear down that defensive front and you start getting those yards wherever you can, whether it's through the air, through the ground. And you've seen that with the Colts now and then yesterday with Tennessee as well. Now, we got to talk about who would your offense – I don't even know who to pick. Who's the MVP on offense from yesterday?
We talked a lot of Emmanuel Wilson, you know, and I would – but I got to say, and I'm going with Matt LaFleur on this, he said you cannot – I'm going to reiterate, you cannot comprehend how difficult and what Malik Willis has done in 2 weeks. And so I guess, you know, for my part, that 120.9 passer rating, the running game, the smart, judicious times when he took off – 3 sacks. It was usually though with eyes downfield, not because he didn't know, but he was eating the ball. He did not put the ball in harm's way. So I think we could probably agree that, man, oh, man, it's Malik Willis, really. I mean, if Jordan Love wanted to take another week off, I don't think anyone would feel terrible.
No,
but it's the Vikings.
The Vikings, and they're 3-0, and that defense looks good for the Vikings. Max texted me at one point, and he's like, Malik Willis out here looking like Lamar Jackson 2019. What is going on? Those were the exact words that I got from him. It was funny. Now, let's turn tides a little bit and talk about the defense, because Every week, I feel like this defense is getting more and more of the Jeff Hafley defense and the treatment. And you can really see, and we talked about this on Friday with the numbers where they were at, you can really see that this defense, what Jeff Hafley is starting to accomplish. Now, they hadn't really gotten after the quarterback yet, right? And we knew that this was probably, if you were going to instill that part of the defensive plan against this Tennessee line, this was probably the week. And Jeff Hafley, he was relentless with his defense. And so let's start there. What was your big takeaway from this defensive performance yesterday? Because man, oh man, were they, can you find a lot of errors with what they did? I mean, I'm sure there are moments, but you know, overall, as an overall performance, I think you got to give them a 10 out of 10 if you're going to give them a grade, don't you?
Oh, I would agree. And I think it really, going into the game, I thought it's going to be a really good case test for Hafley as an in-game adjuster. As we talk about bringing the blitz, but how exotic can he get? What are they going to really do? What's it going to look like? We know in theory, but then on the field. And I thought the fact that he waited to dial some things up to put the final kibosh on the, on the Titans, so to speak, he picked his spots. There was never a sense of desperation with what Half was doing. And then I think the pick six was a turning point of the game. 10-7 becomes 17-7. Same old Will Levis, heads hung. Here we go. Knocking out the Titans a little bit. And Jair celebrating. But his eyes were on the QB the whole way. It was the easiest pick six that cat will ever have.
Yeah.
And a nice catch, by the way. I wouldn't say easy, but I mean, it was a nice catch. And then just right down the sideline. And I think that was the turning point. So the Eagles game, they gave the offense every chance into red zone. Red zone's still a problem, by the way. But
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, we can't be perfect.
Maybe once Love gets back or something like that, and vice versa. And they I think, I don't know. This is only game. I mean, if you're looking at the defense, you got to get Love back if you're offense, because red zone's still an issue there. If you're looking at the defense, well, you know, they're only week three under Hafley. So I'm willing to give both sides of the ball a break at this point.
Oh, I mean, I think really the take for me is that last week Malik Willis gave the Packers a chance to win. They rallied around him, and they did. This week he gave him a chance to be dominant.
And they did.
And I think that just shows you not only his improvement, but theirs. They've grown together in 1 week span as the competition's gotten better.
On the road. I agree. And let's talk a little bit about Jaire Alexander, because the last couple of weeks, I don't know, maybe it was Jaire trying to get into the Hafley defense. He didn't really look like the same guy out there, sometimes a little out of position. Jaire, welcome back, because it was good to see Jaire on the field the way we all know Jaire can play. And it was pretty awesome to see him as excited as he was and doing what we know Jaire can do best. He can be a shutdown corner. We know this. We've seen it. And it looked like the first maybe couple games of the season yesterday, or last week I should say, it looked a little bit better, and then yesterday he looked like the Jaire Alexander that they paid him the big money to be, right? So that was
the
good.
Only thing I can add to that analysis is Eric Stokes looked pretty good too.
Because
you nailed everything.
Amazing.
You sang the whole tune with Alexander. But Stokes, I thought too, battled Carrington Valentine out, but they had been splitting time there.
Yep.
And Stokes, I know he got beat on a play and whatever, but he, you know, that's going to happen. DeAndre Hopkins in that situation
too.
Is going to beat a lot of people. So.
Yes, absolutely.
But I thought Stokes was pretty salty and Alexander the same. And then McKinney over the top, three picks, three games.
Let's talk about McKinney. Because, you know, this is a dude who really honestly changed this defense, right? I mean, there were a lot of defensive changes for this team in the offseason. The fact that Goody went out and fought hard to get McKinney, because we know that both Josh Jacobs and McKinney had options to go other places and get paid more. They have both been vocal about that. They wanted to come to Green Bay, though, to play with this young, dynamic team and Jordan Love. I mean, let's not forget, they both pointed out that being in Green Bay was a lot because they got to play with Jordan Love. And the fact that McKinney, I mean, I don't know if we could ever put him right now in the shrine with Charles Woodson, because that's a big one, right? I mean, Woodson was...
That was the name on the tip of my tongue. You beat
but
me to
man, Nick Collins, does he, like, can we put him in same echelon as Nick Collins? Because I don't know if this team has had a shutdown safety like him, like anybody since Nick Collins got hurt and went out of the game so many years ago. They've tried. None of them have been comparable. And it's kind of
fun to see.
The
beauty of this, too. I mean, a byproduct. Xavier McKinney's range is incredible. The leaping interception today, a thing of beauty. Timing it. The whole thing. It's just what you'd want. And they've got a guy in Javon Bullard who is playing a lot, playing near the line. He's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, really good tackler. I think his play has kind of gone under the radar a little bit. Not underrated, really, by anybody, but under the radar. But the whole time he's studying, watching McKinney and learning. because he has a similar skill set, if not. And I'm not knocking. I mean, McKinney's amazing. Javon Bullard's faster. He's stronger.
Yes.
A little bit bigger.
Agreed.
And his hands are maybe as good, if not better. So there you go. If there was, God forbid, any kind of a downtime at all for that guy, McKinney, you got somebody in waiting. And they're, and the way they're cross-training and prepping and willing to, you know, share, timeshare certain positions, it's kind of forward-thinking in a way the NFL hasn't seen in the Packers. I give them credit for on a cutting edge. But McKinney's a wonderful acquisition. I mean, I was thinking Woodson while you were talking, and then you said it, but that happens fairly, twice a week.
I love, too, that the younger players have talked about McKinney. And one of the big things we've heard the last couple of weeks is the fact that McKinney will tell them, if the ball is coming into your hands, don't bat it down. You catch it. If it's there for you to touch, it is a catchable ball. And he has really, and you've talked about these younger players, you mentioned Bowler talking about, Stokes has even talked about that
Evan
mentality,
Williams.
You know, and Evan Williams as well. And they've all talked about the fact that that is something that they have all learned from McKinney already in the short time that they have been able to be with him. That if that ball touches your hand and it's a ball that you can touch, then it's also catchable. So you don't try to just bat it down, get it out of the way, stop the play, get them off the field, and you get a control of that ball. And, you know, that's just the kind of mindset that I think this defense has been missing for a really long time. It is just night and day different. And I know that there are still going to be spits and sputters. And God bless his soul, Quay Walker had a much better day yesterday. So I was glad to see that as well.
He had a much better day.
Yes, he had a much better day. And I've been hard on him. But
McDuffie was a little bit better, too. And that might be cause and effect a little.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and I think you get guys out there like Wooden because, oh, my goodness, he was on fire yesterday.
How about Devontae Wyatt, my guy Wyatt?
I know.
Two sacks.
They were incredible. It was an incredible defensive performance. Can you pick out anybody who stood out more than anybody else to you yesterday on the defense?
I'm going to go with, and it's kind of an underrated guy, J.J. Kingsley-Enagbari.
Oh, yes.
Busted through for a couple of huge plays. He got a sack and a half. And Enagbari, I thought, just quietly in that role, when he was asked to be single blocked, he didn't waste any time getting after it. And when you hold Tony Pollard, and we all know from the Cowboys days, a guy can still play, and he had great numbers coming in. Six runs for 14 yards, 2.3. Three catches for 15, inconsequential, 5 yards. I mean, they shut down Tony Pollard. They made the quarterback look bad. They got the right tackle benched, and they turned Tony Pollard into a non-entity all on the same day.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, I thought it was a masterful performance as far as where they're at. And the fact that, I guess, watching the game, what I kept thinking is, how many times had we seen Joe Barry's defense? And again, I don't want to pick on him too hard, but if you have an O-line that had as many holes as this Titans, I wasn't convinced always that he was going to exploit that. And a lot of times he didn't when those numbers were as poor as the Titans, right? Going into this game with this O-line. Jeff Hafley was like, oh, no, I see your numbers. And we're coming after you. Because
I see your numbers, and I'm going to raise them.
Exactly. We see what you're putting out there. And I've got the guys who are going to counter that. And he didn't. The other thing that I loved about this game, too, as we wrap up here this morning, this team didn't relent. They didn't let off the gas at all. And that's kind of one of those things we've talked about with LaFleur. He gets a little comfortable sometimes. The offense gets a little stale. And then, oh, boy, all of a sudden it's a lot closer in those last 5-6 minutes of the game than it needs to be.
Well, I think the run game helps them a little bit, you know. Certainly to close things, their 4-minute offense is just so much better. But, you know, you're right. They closed that thing out like it was a Lambeau Field game.
Yes, they did.
I thought it was a home game.
And they closed that out like they were actually down 3 or were protecting only like maybe a 1-point lead. And it was kind of nice to see. We don't always see that from this Green Bay Packers team.
Do we need to mention the kicker, the miss that wasn't but was? Or should we just save it for...
That was a weird moment. I will give Narvison credit, though, because he was on the injury report all week with an injured foot. And he had the miss kick. And then, like you said, it wasn't because they were able to get the penalty, come back, score in the end zone. But at the same time, I will give him credit because other than that, he's been pretty solid. And maybe our expectations are low because, well, Anders Carlson.
Two misses, 2 weeks, and then the miss that wasn't. But I'm a little concerned.
Maybe. Well, I think it is.
Somebody's getting a flight book to Green Bay. Trust
right.
me.
Right. Yes. I think it is concerning, and I agree with you. But at the same time, I guess if my other option is Anders Carlson,
I thought you were going to say they're bringing a pediatrician in to take care of that, or a podiatrist, I should say. Maybe a pediatrician too, because he needs to grow up. But whatever.
Oh my gosh. You know, my other option is Anders Carlson. I guess I go with an Arvidsson.
Oh, we can't go back. We're forward.
No, we can't go back. We can't. We've got to keep moving forward. But
Alan Lazard, come on, Maddie. Now you're teasing.
Well, the Jets are on a win streak. You saw that game the other night. They're doing amazing.
Lazard's throwing a rebirth, yeah.
All of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers looks like vintage Aaron Rodgers. Who would have known, right? No, but it was a spectacular day. And as we wrap up here this morning, any final thoughts on this particular game and going forward? Do you think we see Love back for the Minnesota game next week?
Well, other than the game itself and the outcome, the most encouraging thing, Jordan Love was moving like crazy before the game, working out by all accounts, by the video we saw and everything else, the live action actually, that he was looking really smooth. There wasn't any kind of hitch in his giddy up. And I would expect him to go against the unbeaten Vikings in a showdown, a noon showdown at Lambeau Field. It really early season doesn't shape up much better than this, because Matt LaFleur straight up said, oh, we learn all the time. And, like, can we carry over stuff that we've used offensively, the run game and such, when you go from Willis back to Love? And he's like, absolutely. I mean, you can see the wheels turning. He's answering the question at the same time. I just picture in his mind, he's thinking of all the fun things that they're going to do with this.
I love it. I love it when Matt LaFleur gets that excited, because, as we said, when he gets challenged or he